Hello, everyone. I'm Stephen Strang, and welcome to The Strang Report, the podcast about spirit-led living. And I believe that spirit-led living applies to everything in our lives, including our finances. And of course, finances and your job and taking care of your business and raising your family and paying your taxes and everything else is something we all have to do, Christian or non-Christian. But there are principles in the Word of God that help us know how to live. And it's no surprise that inflation is much higher than it's been for decades. A lot of the policies by President Biden are making the economy really, really difficult. And how do we navigate that? And today my guest is Pastor Jim Baker. It's not the Jim Baker. It's Pastor Jim Baker from Ohio. He's pastor of Zion Christian Fellowship in Powell, Ohio, which is very close to Columbus. And I met him at a conference, and he was teaching on kingdom wealth builders. And I was fascinated with what he had to say. I did a previous podcast with him, and I invited him to be on today to talk about how you can build your financial house on the rock. So stay tuned.
Welcome to The Strang Report with Stephen Strang, the founder of Charisma. This podcast is to encourage you to experience the power of the Holy Spirit and to discuss spiritual issues facing the church, our nation, and the world.
Welcome back and welcome to you, Jim. I know people must tease you about being Jim Baker and teaching on prosperity. How do you deal with that?
Well, I think God has a sense of humor for sure. And I usually tell people it's Jim Baker with 1K and no Tammy Faye. And so we're...
That's a funny way to do it. Well, I wanted to give a disclaimer. It sounds like I'm poking fun at Jim Baker. I knew him before and after the debacle. I am very good friends with him. I feel that a lot of the things that people criticize him for were not valid, but that's a discussion for a different day. And of course, you are your own person, and you're not the first person to have the same name as somebody famous. Yeah. And you just have to cope with it. And of course, it helps people remember you. You know, you have to look at the positive side. So here you have a successful church in Ohio. I know a little bit about your ministry. I've checked out your website. I know you have all kinds of e-courses. I'm on your emailing list. I get your emails regularly. And what prompted a pastor from Ohio in the shadow of Rod Parsley to launch a ministry and a business to help people with their finances?
Yeah, well, we were kind of going after, I started leading the church in 2008, and we were going on an all-out ballistic assault after healing. So you're like, what is an all-out ballistic assault? Well, like, you think of it, we were doing it. You know, we were standing next to handicapped spots at Walmart, knowing whoever pulled in would need prayer. So we're just going for it. We're seeing just wonderful things. We're seeing people get out of wheelchairs and blind eyes open and deaf ears open and metal dissolve out of bodies. We've had over a dozen people raised from the dead. So just a whole bunch of yay God things. And in about 2010, I felt like the Lord said, Jim, I want you to go after finances the way that you went after healing. So all I knew was an all-out ballistic assault. And so I took about a year. I read about 100 books on finances. I don't even know how many sermons I listened to, meditated on the scriptures for a year. And I plan on doing about a 6-part series, ended up doing an 18-part series, which I'm thinking, God, you know, with the name Jim Baker, you're having me go after health and wealth. Like, is there anything more offensive than that? But, you know, the good news is Jesus, there is no prosperity gospel, but the gospel of the kingdom includes prosperity.
Absolutely.
And so I think it just depends on your definition of prosperity. And so my definition is you have more than enough resources to fulfill every divine assignment God has for you and enough left over to help others fulfill theirs. Let me say that again, is you have more than enough resources to fulfill every divine assignment God has for you and enough left over to help others fulfill theirs. Now, it doesn't mean every Christian is going to be a zillionaire. But what it means is you're going to have finances in proportion to your assignment, right? And so if you're called to be a farmer in Uganda, it's going to look different than someone who's called to reach the Hollywood elite. Which one's better? Well, neither one's better. The idea is you stay in your lane and God gives you the provision for your vision.
I want to just jump in because, you know, as a Christian journalist covering the charismatic movement since 1975, I've seen my share.
Oh, Lord, I can't even imagine.
Yeah. In fact, back in the
80s. Toyota, the Reaper, Ferrari, and yeah, all that stuff, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Sow a seed to feed your greed. And people would confess Cadillacs. I mean, literally.
Yep.
That was the big car back then. literally, they were the size of boats. But you know, I knew even back then that what a lot of these people called wealth by the world standards is, you know, compared to Bill Gates or someone from the Saudi family in Arabia, you know, being prosperous in the terms of most Christians was really only being upper middle class. It wasn't real wealth. The problem is that a lot of people in the Pentecostal charismatic movement started off with very, very humble beginnings. And Oral Roberts, in a private conversation with me, I had the privilege of knowing him the last couple decades of his life. He told me that unless you started in absolute poverty, you couldn't understand what a blessing the prosperity message was. And really, a lot of it was just helping people get their eyes up above their circumstances. And even in my own life, which I don't talk about this very much, I mean, you know, my mother grew up in Kansas during the Depression. That was just a state line away from the Oklahoma Dust Bowl. You know what I'm saying? My family were all poor Pentecostals. They just were. And so even my, as a young man, thinking that I could somehow improve to even start a business, to do what I'm doing today, I got that out of books. I don't know that I've read 100, but I read a lot of books, and a lot of them were like people like Robert Schuller, you know, Move Ahead Through Possibility Thinking. I even read Norman Vincent Peale, who, listen, a lot of Pentecostals wanted to damn him to hell because he wasn't fire and brimstone. I actually had the privilege of meeting him, and I believe that he was a sincere Christian. He just had a different way to reach people. Yeah. But getting back to what you're talking about, we're talking about biblical principles that if we could tie into them, we can prosper. Prosperity is part of the atonement in the same way that health is part of the atonement. Sadly, not everyone is healed. And not everyone prospers, right, that I really believe that they should, but it is there for us. So when we started, we talked about building your financial house on the rock. And in the days where everything is so uncertain, where we just came through a pandemic, when we have inflation we haven't seen in years, when we gasp every time we fill up our car with gas. Listen, I can remember a day when I ran on $5 a week for gas. I can remember when gas went over a gallon and we thought that was horrible. And how much did it get up to? I don't remember. It got up over $5 before it came down a little bit. How do we build? What is the rock that we build our financial house on?
Well, I love that you're referring to the rock, and I'm sure a lot of people are picking up the imagery from Matthew 7, where Jesus says, you know, if you build your house on my words, you know, if you put them into practice. And so, you know, there's timeless biblical truths and there's proven financial principles. And so a lot of people, they're kind of looking for the next hot investment. What's the next Google? What's the next Bitcoin? And they're not realizing that they're violating principles of the Bible. The Bible says wealth quickly gained becomes a curse. Most Christians, they're trying to violate this. They're trying to sow the magical seed so they can get some lightning strike event and some mailbox money. And all of a sudden, there's been one check. Here's the deal, guys, is God wants you to become the kind of person who can carry the weight of blessing without it crushing you. I want you guys to get that picture. God wants you to become the kind of person who can carry the weight of blessing without it crushing you. So God wants to prosper you with as much money as you can handle and steward properly. But so we have to look at some of those timeless biblical truths and some of those proven financial principles. And one of them is 3 John 2, you prosper as your soul prospers. I don't know why people get so upset at this verse. They're, oh, well, it doesn't mean that. It does. It actually says that. You're going to prosper as your soul prospers. So how much do you think God wants your soul to prosper? A little bit of joy? He's like, joy unspeakable. A little bit of peace, the peace that understanding, you know, peace that passes understanding. You know, a little bit of love, he's like the height, the depth, the width. And so God wants your soul to prosper. And so when you prosper on the inside, then you can begin to handle prospering on the outside. You see the opposite of this with the lottery winners. They prosper on the outside, but they haven't grown on the inside to become the kind of people who can carry that blessing. What always happens is your external circumstances will shrink down to your internal reality. So in the kingdom, Jesus said, he said, the kingdom of God is within you, which means all kingdom issues are heart issues. So it always starts in here for the believer. Now for the world, it's law of the jungle. They're out there doing what they're doing. But for believers, we live by a different set. And I love kingdom principles, but I do want to say this. Principles without the prince is more like witchcraft than kingdom. I know that sounds strong, but a lot of people are like, just give me the principles.
That's interesting. Say that again.
principles without the prince is more like witchcraft than kingdom. And so what does witchcraft do? It used to look a set of formulas to manipulate the divine or some kind of deity or something like that. So we're just looking at, like, what are the principles I need to do? And in Christianity, we have principles, but we're not carrying them out in our own strength. It's about, so when we talk about unshakable principles, I kind of really look at three big ones. And the first one is learning how to partner with God. Let's look at it like this. You can't build a skyscraper on an outhouse foundation, right? The depth and width of the foundation determines the height of the building. And I know everyone here, I want you to build a high skyscraper for your finances, because for the Christian, it's not about toys and trinkets. It's about influence and impact. That's what we're talking about, building a skyscraper, about having influence and impact with your finances. But partnering with God, you can't go farther in kingdom finances. You've gone in depth of trust with the Lord. I hope someone's getting this here. And so these are hard issues. And so you can't go farther in kingdom finances. You've gone in depth and trust with the Lord. So that's that first foundation, is do you actually trust God? I would imagine most people listening to this podcast have made Jesus their Lord and Savior, but they haven't made him their provider. And I can prove it to you. If you worry about finances, God's not your provider. So that's the spirit of mammon. The way that you worship the spirit of mammon is by being anxious about money. So look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor store in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. And so, so that praise and put it this way, fear and worry are to the spirit of mammon what praise and worship are to the one true God.
Wow, that's strong. Repeat that again. You got all these sound bites. We ought to make memes out of them and put them on Facebook.
So fear and worry are to the spirit of mammon what praise and worship are to the one true God. So Jesus, right before that, he says, listen, you can't serve two masters. You love one, hate the other, hate the one, despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. It's actually, and you look in your Bible, there's a little footnote. It's actually the word mammon. You can't serve God and mammon. Mammon was the demon god of Syria, whose name meant the power of riches. So here's Jesus, the master teacher, and he's saying, listen, there's this spiritual influence behind money. Here's what mammon does. Mammon tries to get you to look to money the way you to look to the one true God. Okay, so I'll use an example here. When you begin to feel more secure and significant, when you've got more money in your checking account, that's the spirit of mammon, because your security and your significance is supposed to come from God himself. I'm not sitting here pointing fingers. Listen, guys, I deal with it too. And so, but I just want you to see that. And he says, listen, if you're going to love money, if you're going to get your comfort from money, then you can't get it from God. Okay, it's not like, hey, it's going to be really hard with the spirit of mammon. And so the antidote to that is having what my friend calls sparrow faith. Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor store in barns. And see, you step into financial freedom, not when you've got a certain number of zeros after your bank account, not when you're out of debt. You step into financial freedom when you turn your finances over to God and you recognize God's the owner, I'm his money manager. And here's the phrase I like to say, nobody can take better care of me than Dad. I mean, if you look at, I don't know if you got grandkids, Stephen, but if you, you know, if you look at a little child sleeping in their parents' arms, they're not worried about North Korea. They're not worried about what's going on in Ukraine. They're not worried about Biden's policies. They're resting in their child, in their parents' arms, right? And that we get to do that. We've entered into a kingdom that's governed by a father who is relentlessly kind and unconditionally committed to you, so much so he sent the Holy Spirit to mentor you into your destiny. And he made a blood covenant with you. And he's inviting you to say, listen, the pressure's off. You're not solely responsible. I'm your provider. And so that's I would say, is the first unshakable. I said there's three, but that first unshakable one is really learning how to partner with God, recognizing he's the owner. I'm his money manager. Nobody can take better care of me than Dad. When you do that, the spirit of mammon breaks off of you. Because guys, listen to this. God's supernatural cannot flow into fear and worry. Listen, God already said yes 2,000 years ago on the cross. I mean, we could talk about the scriptures behind God wanting you to prosper. Listen, God would no more rather have you in poverty than he would have you in adultery. He paid for you to come out of both. We could talk about those scriptures. We might have last time. I can't remember on the podcast. But that's just good news. It's just good news. We've stepped into a kingdom that's governed by a father. And when we get that rest in our heart that the pressure's off, I'm not an orphan running around trying to manipulate God with my giving, with my, you know, a lot of people think if they don't tithe, God's going to send Guido to break their kneecaps. He's going to send the devourer to eat their crops. I've got some good news for you. He's God the Father, not the Godfather. We need to get out of the old covenant.
You're right.
And step into the new covenant grace. So,
you know, there's not just a few principles. These are kind of complicated. They're many faceted. There's also the aspect of God wants us to get up off the sofa and go to work, you know, just not sit there and read our Bible and try to pray it in.
Yeah, God said he blessed the work of your hands, not your butt on the couch. So don't hear what I'm not saying. I'm not saying, oh, you just believe in all this stuff. You know, you can just sit there. Yeah, so keep going.
There are Christians that almost make it sound that way. You know, you're sitting on the couch watching a TV preacher saying, if you sow a seed in my ministry, you'll get rich. Well, the only one getting rich is that TV preacher. Yeah. Now, pretty much those people have gone away because people didn't support them and they kind of saw through it. But you know, part of it is just having maturity to realize that these things are part of the atonement, that if you're more spiritual, if you're more poor, the Lord would want all of us poor all the time, so we'd be more spiritual. It's not necessarily the case, but our culture, people want something for nothing. I mean, every once in a while, I'll be in a convenience store and I'll watch these people buy lottery tickets. I'm dead set against gambling. That is a topic for another day. And it's usually desperately, I mean, you can tell by the way they're dressed. You know, they just got a paycheck. They're working class people and they're down there buying a lottery ticket, hoping to get $1 million. But, you know, I've made this comment and I'll go ahead and finish my thought before I turn it over to you, because we have these podcasts need to be short and focused. But I'll make this comment about kind of think where people think they can get something for nothing. It's like someone told me that your chances of winning the Florida lottery and being struck by lightning are about the same. Now, everybody thinks they're going to win the Florida lottery and nobody thinks they're going to be struck by lightning. I mean, they just don't.
No one's planning.
But yet, in somewhere like Orlando, where I live, there's maybe one person that has won the lottery. But how many millionaires are there in a town like ours? Yeah. You know, with the tourist attractions and all the businesses and everything else, there are many millionaires. You know, somebody wrote a book called The Millionaire Next Door, where you just, you know, invest or build a business or something and you have assets and you don't necessarily look like the Hollywood example of a millionaire. And a lot of Christians, God wants you to prosper without making you look like you're Bill Gates or, you know, some other billionaire. And I'm just so glad that there are people like you who are balanced, who have a good track record, who are just out there teaching. And I'm intrigued by your courses that you have. Why don't you tell us about your 39 hours of courses and how people can connect with your ministry?
Well, you know, I kind of look at it like three legs of a tripod. You know, you need to learn how to partner with God. That's kind of what we've been talking about a little bit. You need to learn how to increase your cash flow. You need to actually learn how do I set up my finances so that they're ready for increase? How can they handle it? How do I have everything automated? How do I increase my cash flow? And then how do you invest to multiply? So it's interesting. The only person who heard "well done, good and faithful servant" in the New Testament before they died were investors. It was the parable of the talents and the parable of the minas. And the parable of the talents is interesting because Jesus gives one guy one amount. Talent wasn't like the ability to play drums. It was an amount of money. So let's just say one talent was $1,000. Let's just say one guy gets 1,000, one guy gets 2,000, one guy gets 5,000. It's like, wow, why did they get different amounts? Well, apparently Jesus wasn't a socialist. All right, that was a cheap shot there. And so, why did they get different amounts? Here's the very next phrase. They were each rewarded according to their ability. And so, so guess what? So Stephen, you talked about, you know, hey, you read books by, you know, Jim Rohn and Robert Schuller. And you know, we were talking earlier, you said, you know, what grew your business at one level is completely different than what grew your business at another level. And so you're rewarded according to your ability. And so here's the thing is a lot of Christians, if you want to steward a greater amount of resources for the king and his kingdom, you're going to have to increase your ability. You're going to have to increase your financial intelligence. So a lot of what we do in the group is we teach people, what are those five key proven financial principles? You know, we teach them how to invest for cash flow. We teach them that there's only three wealth paths. It's not rocket surgery, right? It's paper assets, it's real estate, and it's business. So we teach them frameworks for how do you succeed in that? How do you manage risk in those things? How do you apply the six forms of leverage? How do you do tax advantages? And here's the things, these things are learnable. Some people might get this attitude like, you know, Jim, it's just too complicated. Well, tying your shoes was complicated when you first started. You're making the rabbit ears and you're chasing the rabbit around the tree. But now you can tie your shoes while having a conversation and not even looking. So you can learn these principles. And so when you learn those timeless biblical truths and those proven financial principles, it's like lining up the dominoes so that wealth becomes a matter of when, not if. We help people put it all together in a customized plan for their calling, their gifting, and it's like lining up the dominoes. And so they just execute on those dominoes, and wealth becomes a matter of when, not if. So,
well, what you say is so good. And of course, I'm interviewing you, but I can't help but think of my own experience. You talk about increasing cash flow. When I was 24 years old, my wife and I did not have the cash flow for her to quit her job.
Yeah.
To finish her college degree. She had about one more year to go after we got married. And so I thought, Lord, what I can do? And he gave me an idea to start a little magazine. Hey, guess what that magazine was called? I mean, literally, that was my motivation.
That's amazing.
Initially. Now, of course, in a bigger sense, I was wanting to somehow serve God. And at 24, I didn't know exactly how I could make an impact in the kingdom of God, except being a preacher. And I wasn't that. But there have been occasions where I've been able to share that with people. And in every person's life, there are some open doors like that.
Yeah.
That we just have to be willing to walk through. So as we wrap up this, I want to give you the last word.
Yeah, well, here's the good news, guys. Is it's never too late. It's never too late. God wants you to prosper, and he has a way for you to prosper. And so, you know, what I like to do is partner with people and figure out what's the unique way God has for them. And it's not like there's a million possibilities. It gets narrow. But if you're listening to this and you're looking at the world system and it's shaking and all that stuff, but there's some things you can learn. You know, there's five investments that grow faster than inflation. There's not a million. There's five. And so there's some things you can learn. It's never too late. But I'd like to close with this thought. Affluence is for influence. Income is for impact. Prosperity has a purpose. And if you're sitting here listening to this and your heart's coming alive saying, man, I wish I can make more impact. I wish I could have better experiences with my family. I want to leave something as an inheritance for my children's children. I got some good news for you. It's there's ways to do it, and it can work for anybody. It's not rocket surgery. So bless you guys. There's hope. There's great hope.
Boy, that's so encouraging. There always is hope.
Absolutely.
In fact, the Bible says that faith is the substance of things hoped for.
Yeah.
So before you can say with faith, I'm prospering, you can say it's possible that I'll prosper. And there's so much more that we could say, but we're going to have to leave it there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. My mind's spitting. So this has been good.
We'll have to do this again. Thank you for being a guest on the Strang Report today. Remember that it's possible to build your financial house on the rock. Share this podcast and the article that goes with it on charismanews.com, and tune in again tomorrow for another podcast on the Charisma Podcast Network. I'm Stephen Strang. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to The Strang Report with Stephen Strang. Stay up to date with the latest episodes by subscribing on your favorite podcast app and at cpnshows.com. Get the latest reports delivered directly to your inbox by subscribing at strangreport.com. If you enjoy listening to the Strang Report podcast, then make sure you get your very own subscription of Charisma Magazine. Our Charisma Podcast Network listeners receive a 10% discount when you subscribe. Go to mycharismashop.com and use the promo code CPN.